You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
I'm really pleased I got asked back because I really love this church. And I love it because it's generational. It's great to see the different ages looking back at me from the seats. But I love the fact that the place just screams children. Children of all ages, the unborn, the newborn, the toddler, the primary school age, the high schooler, the whole campus just screams children and the value that you place on children. And as an advocate for children, that sits pretty well with me. I'm a father of three adult children and four grandchildren. And as Graham said, I've really dedicated my life to the pursuit of being an advocate, a voice, a herald for the children of our nation. It was the children of the world with compassion, the children over there, now it's about the children over here. Great to see you doing things in Uganda. I said to Pastor Graham last night that I, having seen the photos and heard about the vision for Amari, it's really, really good development. That's what pleases me. It's not the big white folks coming in and telling the locals what to do and blessing them with our incredible knowledge, but working hand in hand with them. And that's just very evident. And the fact that you're caring for the poorest of the poor, the kids that otherwise wouldn't be educated, the fact that you're doing it so well, that you're doing it in a sustainable way, just is really, really encouraging. And having seen a lot of development, some really good and some not so good, what you're doing in Amari is really, really good. So I want to really encourage you to continue to support that. Operation Christmas Child, very simple way of blessing children in the developing world. And so I want to encourage you to continue doing that. I have a funny story. About 12 months ago, I was visiting some friends and they had very small children and I put my car keys down. And after some time, I think it was time for me to go, I went looking for the car keys, couldn't find them anywhere, looked in the kids' room, couldn't find them. We turned the house upside down and finally, one of the little kids climbed under the bed and pulled out this Operation Christmas Child shoebox. And inside were the car keys. And I just, you know, I thought about, man, what could have happened? There would be this little kid in Ethiopia, Christmas Day, you know, ripping open the box and saying, "Mum, I've got a Ford Falcon." So Operation Christmas Child's great. So as Graham said, I'm the CEO of a ministry called Emily's Voice, and our goal is to help Australians fall in love with the unborn and to encourage women and couples and families that have an unintended or a crisis pregnancy. And the idea is that we want to give those people hope and encouragement to love life and to accept life and to be a blessing to our children. And so we seek to change culture. A culture that currently doesn't value children all that much. And so we want to turn that around, and we're using the medium of advertising, TV, radio, print, billboards, and even social media and direct mail to promote life. And so I'll show you some of our TV ads. We'll have a look at those now.
At 18, my dream was to go to university. Then I found out I was pregnant. I remember people saying my life was ruined. I was so confused, but I decided to bring my son Sam into the world. Now with a uni degree and four beautiful kids, I know I didn't ruin my life or have to give up my dreams to have them. They became part of the dream. I wanted my baby and I wanted my degree, and I got both. I just can't imagine my life without them.
Visit notbornyet.com.
When we found out we were having a child with Down syndrome, we were devastated. We were so afraid of having a child with a disability, and we were given the option not to go ahead with the pregnancy. But Jimmy is so not what we expected. He has made our life richer, clearer, and fuller. Visit notbornyet.com.
We're only married 4 weeks. My wife told me she was pregnant with our first child. I was your typical bloke, a bit slow to grow up, and I avoided commitment. We didn't have a cracker between us. I can remember thinking, how are we going to cope?
Well, 17 years later, we've just had our seventh child,
And I reckon I've coped just fine. Visit notbornyet.com.
I never got to meet my first child. And that's because I chose to end the pregnancy at just 8 weeks. I can't tell you how much I regret that decision every day of my life. It's as though there's someone missing. And that's even though I have my beautiful Evangeline now. And I love being a mum. She's my life. She's so precious and so beautiful. To read my story or to post your own, visit notbornyet.com.
So all of those ads are real people telling their own personal story. We don't use any actors in our ads. And so they are people from the Darling Downs of Queensland just telling their very own stories. We ran the ads for about 5 years in Toowoomba. Then we took a survey of 400 people. We got the Galaxy organisation to do it and found that the ads have been very influential in changing people's views on life. 22% of 16 to 24-year-olds said they'd changed their views on the issue of life as a result of the ads. We changed the views of 7% of all age groups. The younger you were, the more likely you were to change your views as a result of the ads. And so, buoyed by that result, we've started to roll the ads out. We're running them now in Tasmania. They started in April, and we're about to start them in the next 12 months in the Hunter Valley and North Queensland. And over the next, our goal is that within 10 years you shall be able to see an Emily's voice anywhere throughout Australia. So we're starting in regional centres and gradually working our way to the capital cities. The little feet that you have, I'm going to show you an ad in a moment, and it features little feet. We did a new campaign in Toowoomba which focused on characteristics of children which start in the womb and carry us through life. Hands, hair, feet, and we're just about to do a new one on the heart. But with the little feet one, we decided that we would try to reinforce the TV ad and the billboard with these little feet pins. So we delivered 65,000 of these to every home in the Darling Downs. And we're amazed that people actually kept them and wore them. There were whole schools in Toowoomba where students are wearing the little feet pins. Our goal in giving them to you, or in fact the church has bought them on your behalf, is that you will wear them, and when somebody says to you, oh, so what's the pin, that you can say, oh, that's the actual shape and size of an unborn child's feet at just 70 days from conception. At 10 weeks, perfect little feet. And we've had lots of churches do this, and one church spent 3 Sunday night services having people come up and simply share what happened when someone asked them about their little feet and the conversation that ensued. It's a very subtle and simple way of promoting life without being condemning, without making anyone feel guilty or shamed, or, you know, ramming our viewpoint down people's throats. It's motivated by love to just simply be an advocate for the unborn and for life. So I'll show you the TV ad that goes with the little feet, and it'll make a bit more sense.
In life, our feet carry us through all sorts of journeys. First steps, followed by countless more special moments and everyday ones. But long before they bear the load, the journey's already begun.
So while our name is Emily's Voice, and we certainly have a corporate website which you can go to, emilysvoice.com, all the ads point people to notbornyet.com. And so if you go to notbornyet.com, there's information there about child development, about pregnancy, about the issue of life and some of the statistics, and also various ministries that help people. Those that have an unintended or difficult pregnancy, where can they get help? If you've got a child that expecting a child with a disability, or you need some counselling, then we offer those referral services as well. In Tassie, we're getting about 4,000 people a month go to notbornyet.com and have a look around, and we're really excited by that. apart from the TV ads, we also have various print collateral that supports the TV ads. So we'll just show you some of the billboards and bus backs that we do. So the dad with seven kids. It's a billboard, a bus back. These are actual from Tasmania, some of the billboards that we're currently running. Thank you. Best thing to do, if you want to support Emily's voice, if you want to be a voice for life or you want to know more about the subject, simply go to emilysvoice.com. You can join up to the Movement for Life. We have currently have about 1,070 people who've now signed up, who get our e-news, who support us financially, and really just be a voice for children and for the unborn. Our goal is that wherever we raise money, we're going to spend it in the same area. And so if you are able to, if you wanted to support Emily's voice financially, unfortunately we're not going to spend the money here in Melbourne, but you'll be providing seed for somewhere else to be able to see those beautiful ads. And other people will undoubtedly, when we come to Melbourne, will be providing part of the funding so that we can run the ads here. So just bear that in mind. We're going to come around the word now. And so if we've just switched gears, just take a kind of a mental break for a moment. And let's pray as we consider what the word of God has to say about life. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that your word does not return void, but will accomplish that for which it's been purposed. We thank you that your word is a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and judging the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate and give us revelation as to what you want to say to us corporately and individually about life and about our value as human beings, about who we are made in your image. And so we just come and we pray that you would just speak to us individually, just quietly and gently, just do what you will. Where we need to forgive ourselves, we'll do so. Where we need to forgive others, we will. Where we need to just realign and match our actions with what your word actually says, then we will be corrected. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you that we are your children and that you love us. And we pray your blessing upon this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Four things I want you to know today. And they are that you are unique, that you are valuable, that you are known, and that you are loved. You know, God is so big and the universe is so vast that sometimes we forget that while God made and loved everyone, he cares about each one. That while we're part of the masses, he relates to us as individuals. He cares about the one as well as the many. You know, he helps us one at a time. He talks to us corporately, but usually speaks to us one at a time, personally, intimately. He saves us one at a time. He died for our individual sins. And you know, Jesus preached to the masses, but he always had time for the one. And the one was usually the underdog, those on the margins of society, the weak, you know, the poor, the alien, the widow. Those that couldn't defend themselves were the ones that Jesus seemed to go out of his way to care for. You know, he went a long way out of his way to connect with one adulterous woman at a well. He raised a widow's only son from the dead. He healed a little girl who, other than to her family, had no real value in the culture of the day. He healed an outcast woman with uncontrolled bleeding. He healed one blind man, Bartimaeus. He healed one paralyzed man at the pool of Siloam. He leaves the 99 on the hills to go look for the one. And you're the one. He rejoiced over one prodigal son who came back to the father. Defended one woman who was caught in adultery and about to be stoned. He engaged and later dined with one despised tax collector. And while his promises are for everyone, most importantly, they are for you and they are for me. You know, he promises never to leave or forsake you and me. He suffered for your sins. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. He upholds you with his mighty right hand. He is your good shepherd. He leads you by still waters. He makes you lay down in green pastures. He prepares a table in the presence of your enemies for you. He anoints your head with oil. Are you getting this? You're unique. You're valuable. You're known and you are loved. And you're loved despite being known. And you know what I mean by that. Despite knowing everything about us, God still loves us unconditionally, overwhelmingly, unstintingly. And his grace is sufficient for you and for me. It's not just for your neighbour, it's also for you. You know, we would save a whole lot of grief if we could just get hold of this truth. Not in an intellectual way. Yeah, I know God loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I know because the word says so, but we've got to get it from here to here, that it becomes an anchor so that we can sing with confidence and surety that all is well with my soul, no matter what, no matter what's happening around me, no matter what I've done or haven't done, he cares about me. Why? Because you're unique, you're valuable, you're known, and you are loved. And probably the best passage of scripture that reaffirms this point, of course, is Psalm 139. And if you have your Bibles, whether it's a hard copy or electronic, you might want to turn there. I'm going to read from the NIV and it will be on the screen behind me. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know, when I sit and when I rise, you perceive even my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You are unique. You are valuable. You are known and you are loved. When you were conceived, at the moment of conception, DNA was produced that has never existed before nor ever will. Again, your hair and eye colour, your body type, your fingerprints were all predetermined. You're both a miracle and a masterpiece. You are priceless and not worthless. You are not random. God doesn't do mistakes. He wasn't surprised by your coming, and you are unique, you are valuable, you are known and loved regardless of your gender, your circumstances of conception, whether you have a disability or not. And I think we're all a little bit disabled. regardless of your nationality, your culture, what sort of family you grew up with, whether you had two parents or one, makes no difference to God. You're a miracle and a masterpiece. And let me bring Psalm 139 to life. Let me animate Psalm 139 with a video. The guy at the start who introduces it, he speaks very, very quickly. I've watched it about half a dozen times and I still have trouble with getting my head around what he's saying. But basically it's this. It's a secular scientist, a mathematician, who invented the MRI scanner. He and a guy called Paul Lowenbrow invented the MRI scanner, and as part of that, they did a project on a scanning project on the development of life from conception to birth. Let's have a look at it.
I was offered a position as associate professor of medicine and chief of scientific visualization at Yale University in the Department of Medicine. And my job was to write many of the algorithms and code for NASA to do virtual surgery in preparation for the astronauts going into deep space flight so they could be cut in robotic pods. One of the fascinating things about what we were actually working on is that we were seeing, using new kind of scanning technologies, things that had just had never been seen before. I mean, not only in disease management, but also things that allowed us to see things about the body that just made you marvel. I remember one of the first times we were looking at collagen, and your entire body, everything, your hair, skin, bone, nails, everything is made of collagen, and it's a kind of a rope-like structure that twirls and swirls like this, and the only place that collagen changes its structure is in the corner of your eye. In your eye, it becomes a grid formation, and therefore it becomes transparent as opposed to opaque. So perfectly organized a structure, it was hard not to attribute divinity to it, because we kept on seeing this over and over and over again in different parts of the body. One of the opportunities I had was one person was working on a really interesting kind of micromagnetic resonance imaging machine with the NIH, and what we were going to do is scan a new project on the development of the fetus from conception to birth using these kinds of new technologies. So I wrote the algorithms in code, and he built the hardware. Paul Lauterbro then went on to win the Nobel Prize for inventing the MRI. I get the data. And I'm going to show you a sample of that piece from conception to birth. Thank you.
He says, you know, such is the perfection and the complexity of the human body, it was impossible not to attribute divinity to it. So he's you know, one of the, you know, I call it, he's scary smart, that guy. And he says, you know, I can't explain it. I don't know how from one cell all that happens and how everything knows where to go at just the right time in just the right way to make you. But the thing is, you know, every life is precious, it's precious for what it is, not for what it can do. You're not valuable for your looks or your title or your position or your money or lack thereof. And you're not more or less valuable as an adult than you were as a child. You don't increase or decrease in relative value depending on your stage of life. As I say, you're not more valuable as a teenager than you were as a toddler or as a fully grown adult than you were as an embryo or a fetus or a newborn baby or a preschool or a primary age student. You're valuable simply because you are you. And what are you? You are unique, you're valuable, you're known, and you're loved. You're made in God's image. Now, as much as the Greens want to tell us we're just another species of animal, no, we're made in God's image and we were given dominion over everything. And you matter. And we're better for you being here. Think about that for a moment. You do things and say things and interact with people that only you can do. And as a group, as a church, as a family, we are better for your being here. And I love the fact that God cares about each one and everyone. Recently, a close friend of mine was depressed because of money worries and constant back pain. And so she decided that she would end her life. And so she drove her car onto to the side of a major freeway in Sydney and took a pile of pills. And her plan in her stricken state was that she would take a pile of pills and step out in front of a car. And so she took the pills, but she passed out before she could get out of the vehicle. And miraculously, another driver, one lone motorist whose car was working fine, suddenly developed engine trouble and sputtered to a stop behind her vehicle. And noticing a woman slumped over the wheel, rang the ambulance, and she was revived. In that window of time when she would either be revived or potentially be revived but with serious injury, she came through without any problems and just celebrated about 2 months ago in April. She celebrated her 60th birthday and was a celebration of her life. You know, that's the sort of God that leaves the 99 metaphorically on the hills to go and look for the one. And I love the fact that God is the champion of the underdog, as I said, the weak and the helpless. Those that society tends to look down upon and says they don't have as much value as others. And someone remarked that our care and compassion as a society can be measured by how we treat those at the dawn and in the twilight of life. The very, very young, the unborn, and the old, our seniors. And yet, life should be protected, shouldn't it? It's precious from the moment of conception till its natural death, whatever that age may be. And as I say, our value as human beings is not based on how long we're here, but the fact that we are here and that we're made in God's image. Do you know that you are unique? Do you know that you are valuable? Do you know that you are known, fully known and fully loved, and that God has a purpose and a plan for you? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the reminder that you don't do random, that we're not an accident, that we're here by your choice. And Lord, we want to thank you for our lives. We recognize that we are a gift from you and a gift to other people. And so I pray that we will see ourselves and others as you see us, as unique, as valuable, as known, and as loved, as people with a purpose, a people who were designed to connect with you in relationship and to spend eternity with you as a result of a relationship with your Son Jesus, who came to redeem each one as well as everyone. And so, Lord, we just marvel at your creativity, at your magnificence, at your brilliance and at your grandeur, and the fact that we get to spend time with you. We pray that you would help us to be advocates for life. Life in all its forms, from conception to natural death, Lord. Holy Spirit, when we want to look down upon others, when we want to compare ourselves, I pray that you'll just speak to us in that still, small, quiet voice. And that we will love each other and ourselves just as you do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.